I'm your host, Soli, and here I am with the Cemetery Gates host, Android.
Hey.
We're talking about crazy schlock maestro master Godfrey Ho.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show, sir.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry for the anthrax poisoning that is this guy's movie career. It's amazing. It's like when Android came to me, we were talking about like what we could appear on, and we were just like, he mentioned like two legit good filmmakers, and I instantly went for the shittiest filmmaker on the list.
Yeah.
Gabriel. And I was like, oh, we can talk about that motherfucker's career. Because we're already talking about, again, just all the other crazy ones like Neil Breen and Tommy Wiseau, but we gotta talk about this dude.
Yeah.
He is hysterical and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, he's considered the Ed Wood of Hong Kong cinema.
Yeah, he worked like on a movie like Fantasy Mission Force before like John Woo took over the production, because it was like behind schedule, and it was like one of Jackie Chan's movies he didn't remember making. It was so chaotic. And I knew about him just working with all the other like B movie Z listers. He was like who they called when they couldn't get a Filipino guy like Albert Pion. And he just started making all these Nikita knockoffs. He worked with Cynthia Rothrock, and then he used all this unapproved music from legit movies like Silent Running and Star Wars.
there's an operation Operation Cheetah Force or Jaguar Force, something like that. And it's really funny because like when you when you watch the trailer, you can hear Pink Floyd playing in the background.
Yeah, like, and you're like, am I mishearing? Am I listening to too much music?
Yeah, Run from Pink Floyd. You know, run, that one song. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? And then he's been known to lift a clock. He lifted what, scores from Stanley Kubrick?
Yeah.
The Clockwork Orange theme, all kinds of stuff, man.
Oh man. So for most of you who want to probably ill-advised want to see any of his dog shit, you can probably find most of it on YouTube. It includes Zodiac America 2, Top Team Force, Angel's Mission, Full Metal Ninja, where I think he had like a RoboCop cover on one of them, a Lethal Panther.
Yeah, the RoboCop is Ninja Terminator.
That's what it was, yeah. This is like, it's such a cool poster, and I don't think he even appears in RoboCop, or does he? I don't know.
No, what happened was
it's also known as Robo Vampire.
Oh no, Robo Vampire is a completely different. Wait, Ninja Terminator is different. No, it's Robo Vampire. Yeah, I got mine mixed.
It's all good. They all blend together after a while.
Because we did. Here's my shameless self promotion. I'm a horror host. No, like, do you know, like, like Sven Gulli and Elvira and all that shit. So I do that. I don't know if you know that. And I do that. Yes,
you on it. Good job.
Yeah, the show's called Android Vision, and we've actually had Ninja Terminator on that show before, and we've also had Robo Vampire on there, and they're hard to sit through. Very hard to sit through. But Ninja Terminator is because the main character is Ninja Master Harry.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name. And he's just some white dude, right? And
right, whitewashing.
and Ninja Terminator is actually two movies. One half of the movie, he didn't finish it. So he went ahead and filmed the other parts and then made Ninja Terminator. And then he edited everything together. So there's this whole story going on, and these actors aren't even in the same scenes together. And some of the actors are clearly from the late 70s. And then these other actors are clearly from the mid 80s. Right. And so you have these guys wearing pastel, you know, like your Miami Vice type of stuff. Right.
Right. You know, it's the total what the fuck.
Yeah. And then the next scene, you're having this fight. Street fight in Hong Kong with these guys wearing bell bottoms.
Oh God! Like, yeah,
what the fuck is going on here? And then the bad guys are like these strong Asian characters wearing blonde wigs and.
Man. Yeah. And it just makes you wonder, did Godfrey, you know, kind of like how some of these giallo guys, in many cases, wrongly were accused of just hating society just because they were having gruesome acts back then and people weren't warmed up to horror movies.
Yeah.
Sure, the drive-in crowd or the consumer themselves. It just seemed like he just was just trying to get it done and he racism be damned. But it is rough to where you're like, come on, dude, if you have any pride, you know, just stop being a whore. Just turn it down. Just say, fuck you guys. I'm not doing that shit.
But yeah.
Yeah. To do it.
Godfrey Ho is. I'm telling you, man, he's a gem. He is a
gem. Yes. Oh, man.
He's great. And one of the funny things about Godfrey Ho, a lot of people don't know, is they said that rumor is he apparently is a part of the Triad Syndicate in real life.
I've heard that rumor. It's similar to the guy who did like Yugwari, the South Korean RoboCop ripoff, because like the producers were mobsters and he was just like, I'll do anything that'll make people, you know, repay my debt. And people like Kaiju monster movies, so I guess I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, he apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, he reminds me kind of the godfather of gore, kind of Herschel Gordon Lewis, who would often be given racist, you know, exploitation plots. And he was like, fuck it, I'll just worry about the gore. And, you know, I can't change the script because then they'll just refuse to pay me. They're scum of the earth.
What I liked about him is, and I don't know if Godfrey Ho did the same thing, but I wouldn't be surprised. But what Herschel Gordon Lewis would do is, I know sometimes they would have the poster for the movie made first before they got the producers.
Yeah, Canon Films kind of thing to just embezzle investors where you're just like, whoa, whoa, but it doesn't exist. And yeah, if you did that shit now, you'd get a lawsuit and a cease and desist before it even came out. Crowdfund.
So Ho has directed at least 115 releases.
Sounds legit. Yeah.
Most of which contain the word ninja.
Mm-hmm. And that's not including some of his Vietnam ripoffs like Crocodile Fury and Hands of Death, Hunting Express. Sometimes he's credited as Benny Ho, official exterminator, and they don't even have anything to do with one another. It's just put a name in there.
Yeah.
He's cops and robbers movies with Mike Abbott is one of the stars in his movies. He's another guy. He just would be in every other Z-lister. Richard Harrison, I think, was in a few of them.
He's known for ruining Richard Harrison's career. Richard Harrison, he was Ninja Master Harry in Ninja Terminator. And the Richard Harrison thought he was like going to be into like a legit movie and all these things. And he thought he was filming like legit movies for Godfrey Ho. And then Godfrey Ho was just taking his scenes and splicing him into a bunch of other different movies.
Yeah. Years before Fred Olen Ray and Jim Wynorski would practically just like borrow leftover footage and sets, like film them back to back. He was pretty much doing the same shit.
Here's one I want to see because I'm a big, do you know who Cynthia Rothrock is?
Lover. And yeah, she was did two with him, and Lauren Avedon did his last one, Manhattan Chase, and then like he left the industry after this.
Yeah. I still need to see Undefeatable and Honor and Glory with
Cynthia Rothrock. The honor of talking to Steve Harper, who's become a pretty A-list TV writer, you know, including God Friend and Me and Covert Affairs and American Crime. The list goes on. And he's like, I was one of four people who we basically forwarded a draft. We never knew if it actually got made or not. You're like the first person to ask me. And he's like, I'm like, well, long story short, it's become an internet meme, especially with the guy getting his tongue in bell.
What? Jeez. Yeah, he's
It was a big thing on YouTube. They would say worst fight scene ever, and it'd be like the first thing that came up, and then it spread like wildfire. People kept spreading it. I think Cynthia had it as an April Fool's one day on Twitter. It's like,
really?
Remember, I've come so far.
Jeez.
I might be remembering it with someone else, but yeah. She, much like Scott Atkins and all these other A, B list, you know, martial artists, that they knew where they came from and how good they have it now compared to then.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. So yeah, I've seen Ninja. Okay, so I have seen Ninja Terminator. I've seen Robo Vampire. For sure, multiple times.
Soldier Champion, Kill Butterfly Kill, Project 27.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you could see, like, there's one Ninja Dragon. It has Richard Harrison on the cover, but he's doing the same scenes that he was in Ninja Terminator. Yeah,
yeah. I know I got one of them on VHS from eBay during the 2000s, but I don't remember which one. But it was a rough set, except when you got to Richard Harrison scenes where he was, like, the only life in it.
Yeah, he's too much. Now, Godfrey Ho... was also known for, they said, because they did use, I know, especially in Ninja Terminator, why am I getting the movies confused again?
Space Ninjas was a 2019, I think, homage is what you're thinking of.
What? No, it was not Ninja Terminator, Robo Vampire, that they do kill a cow in it for real or something.
Oh, God.
And they said that Godfrey,
now type shit.
Yeah, he really relished in that. You know, Godfrey Ho, like, thought that stuff was funny.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he's a madman. But yeah, this the list goes on and on with him. He would say pretty much, fuck it, come and sue me. You know?
All his movies are only available as bootlegs anyway. Yeah. Oh, man. Would you say he's kind of like, I mean, he just left us, the director of Cannibal Holocaust, the burrito, not the other burrito guy, Bergerio. Yeah. I guess you could say he's kind of like that, where he's like, hey, it happens. It sucks, yeah. It happens.
It happens, man. He just didn't give a shit. They're not even B grade. They're considered Z grade movies. With what they called back then the cut and paste technique. Mm-hmm. So again, like I said, he would shoot one movie, often use the Caucasian actors, and then edit the scenes into several other movies, and then mixing them with old footage.
Oh man,
unreleased films. He would use Thai, Chinese, Filipino footage from whatever, because he filmed movies in Thai, Chinese, Filipino, and then he would try to make the story somewhat coherent through doing voiceovers.
Yeah.
And then you have four or five movies while so basically he would then have four or five movies while having spent the budget of one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that checks out.
yeah I mean he I mean, isn't that just like a hustle? Like, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's a,
like,
total suckers. I'll take it. Yeah.
I mean, he's just a hustler at that point, which I'm not hating on it. You know, I mean, I brother's got a hustle, but damn, he gave us some gems. I do got to see the Cynthia Rothrock stuff, man.
Yeah, I think that's where most people have actually just bothered with him to begin with, just because they knew about how he was like, yeah, doesn't he do this and that? Yeah, it's like, well, kind of, and then some.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's too much. And then the ninjas are really, like, his ninjas are really copy and paste. You know what I mean? Like,
canon, like, films are more realistic.
Yeah. Like, he just probably, like, I don't know where you grew up, but I remember when I was a little kid and I would go to the flea market, or when the state fair would roll around, and I grew up in the 80s, you know, you'd get those shitty Chinese stars. Can we say shitty on this? I'm sorry.
Fuck. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. There you go. So you get those. Remember those shitty Chinese stars?
Mm-hmm.
And then the shitty nunchucks.
Right.
And what else did we get? The shitty.
You would get kind of the Aaron Kwans even during the 90s, where basically they were singers, but they were trying to teach them kung fu, and they weren't really interested in that, and they were like, "I want to be an actor."
Yeah.
Oh, acting. Oh, I'm not even good at that. Oh, well, shit. Guess I'll go back to. Being a pop star.
one of the funniest things I remember from Ninja Terminator was it's very random. If you look up if you just YouTube, or not YouTube, just Google Garfield phone. Okay.
I think I know. Yeah.
So for some goddamn reason, Richard Harrison in Ninja Terminator is talking on a Garfield phone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what, man, the fuck? Like, it's just so strange. And like, he's just taking this serious call on a Garfield phone. And it's just like, but there's a fucking Garfield phone he's talking on. What the fuck? And then the evil ninjas, while he's on the Garfield phone, decide to send a robot to him to send a message. And the robot, again, if you're in the 80s, do you remember those shitty ass robots you can get from the flea market? And they just go beep, beep, beep.
They're almost like the bot in Rocky, but that mini size, just mini little blue.
Well, that's what they used in Ninja Terminator.
to
deliver a message to Richard Harrison's character. So they used, you know, a Garfield phone.
I guess you could say, because of how you said earlier, how much just carefree he was, I guess that's what we got. I got no special effects people to pay. Let's just wind up the toy. Have it be the robot.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. And then, so I'm looking it up now. Ninja Terminator robot, Ninja Terminator Garfield phone. I'm Googling it. It's so funny, man. And you just see this actor's disappointed look on his face.
Yeah, they're like, you're not serious. I thought that was just for my reference. Oh. You are serious. Oh, well, fuck. I'm only as good as the movie.
Yeah. He made a lot of the Asian actors wear blonde wigs. You know, the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. He did love his nudity as well.
I can't blame him.
Yeah. He loved his nudity as well.
Get what you can get.
Godfrey Ho, man. There you have. He's great. It's great.
Oh man, if you had to compare him to anybody else, I mean because Yuval doesn't give me any joy. Yuval just depresses me with how he just seems to want to make student films and then get all these Z-listers in his movies. Godfrey Ho, I mean he's still Z-list, but like you say, he's kind of like Ed Wood, where is like someone had to make stupid movies and just not care. But the difference is Ed Wood was on the record as he legit wanted to make a good movie, and sometimes he'd get a good shot or inspired performance, but he'd still just have just themes or plot twists that came out of stage right, you know.
Yeah, and I mean I don't know like who I could compare him to. I mean first person comes off the top of my head, a lot of these, like, there's a lot of American guys, you know, who make movies on the weekends or kind of, they know they're making crap.
But they have fun.
Yeah, they have fun. And I'm talking about like a lot of the guys from the Asylum films.
Oh yeah. I've seen them even troll the various bad movie lists on IMDb. They really do not legit care. They're like, of course you hate us. Buy our piece of shit movie.
Have you ever gotten,
I never took the bait. Had they not been on Sci-Fi, I never would have seen their movies. And it took me halfway through when they did their version of War of the Worlds for me to realize, oh, given these effects, they actually don't care. But they fooled me. I thought they're trying to take it serious with the music and the actors. But yeah, I have heard countless stories of how so many, they just made, like you say, easy hustle, because people, even before Redbox, would just go to Walmart. And, oh, I'm buying you this or that. I'm like, grandma, that's not Lord of the Rings, or that's not.
They got me with two of them.
Oh, dear.
I did. I know.
Alien versus Hunter.
No, they got me with Transmorphers.
Oh no! Oh man!
And what else?
And then one. I think one of them had Bruce Boxleitner in it. So then you're like, I still kind of want to see it because he's in it. But half the time, the Battle Dogs was the biggest waste of time for me, because they had the Allstate guy, Wes Studi from Last of the Mohicans, and even Ernie Hudson. And several times they'll break character and start guffawing at the camera. I'm like, God damn it!
Yeah, dude.
I hope that bought you a mansion, because.
Oh, here's the other one. So Transmorphers got me, and then Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh no!
Oh man, I'm gonna watch this shit, and it was like, no, it wasn't Battle of L.A., and I was like, oh fuck, and then it had a Nia Peoples in it.
Oh, yes. Fame. Totally wasted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got me with that. Never again. They'll never get that. But it's funny because I met this is very strange. My buddy's wife, Steph, her brother's ex-wife is married to one of the Asylum film directors. They live in and she just says, bro, and she stars in the movies. And oh, you know what? They have a pretty good living, man. Not gonna lie.
She probably just doesn't even watch them. She's like, it's the equivalent of making a YouTube skit, except it's just stupid.
Yeah, who's the king of those movies? Like, they get Eric Roberts.
See one of them that involved like a giant like Bigfoot and other thing. It had just verses in the title, and he was like in it for like one scene. And I don't know if you've heard. I'm sure you've heard how he's now kind of pulled a Marlon Brando, where he just reads whatever lines you give him off a teleprompter.
Yeah, the strangest interaction I ever had with Eric Roberts was I was at a just to give everybody a background. I live in New Mexico. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Awesome. Netflix New Studios is here. Mm-hmm. We even have. It's so strange, man. Like in the corner, literally in the southeast corner of Albuquerque, as far as the city limits can go, out by our airport, where there's a desert where they film everything from Breaking Bad and all that crap, all that desert shit. Netflix has crazy studios out there. They have
next week on Longmire.
Yeah, like Stranger Things was all filmed here, right? Like they make it seem like it's other, like, nope, all done here.
Have to.
Yeah, and so for some reason, you just will see random actors here just kicking it, whatever, and people don't really bother them. I mean, for the most part, people. But I was running on the treadmill at the gym, and I was like, is that fucking Eric Roberts? And he's just walking around the gym like the 60 some year old man he is, kind of lost, looking at the equipment. Nobody was bothering him. I was like, that's fucking Eric Roberts. I'm just like,
he is the best of the best.
I'm just running on the treadmill. Oh, I love that movie, by the way.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one, dude.
I'll invite you on to do a special on it.
Yeah, the best of the best is great. But I do want to bring up one guy that we watched. Okay, so we did a podcast. We have the Intestinal Fortitude Podcast Network is where we host a bunch of different podcasts. Mm-hmm. And one of the podcasts on there that I'm on is It Really That Bad? And yes. So that's the name of the show.
It's a fun show.
Yeah. And so we did a Road to Revenge, and AKA Champagne and Bullets.
Yeah. And when Hauser shows up out of nowhere and you're like,
what? Yeah. John DeHart. Is in it, stars in it, and John DeHart is, you know, he's the cop or dirty, I don't know, screwed over by dirty cops, dirty judges, and it's a really weird movie, and it's a total ego driven movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's his ego piece. But if you haven't watched Champagne and Bullets, do yourself goddamn favor. John DeHart is one of those gentlemen who try. He's kind of like a Godfrey Ho. He knew he was making a bad movie. They put 100% into it,
yeah,
and it didn't go through. And what's really funny is when we were doing the podcast, I was like, you know, I was Googling him, and I was like, John DeHart's a trial lawyer now, right? And civil lawsuits, state and federal, all types of court appearances, right?
Yeah.
And then so he has his number on there. And I called it live on the podcast. I said, I wonder if this is a legit number. And I called, and he's all, hello. So is this John? It is the John DeHart. Yeah, you got me. I was like, holy shit, where do I go with this? Like, everybody's laughing in my ears on my headphones, and I can only play it on speaker, you know, through my microphone. And I'm just having this full-on conversation with John DeHart.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
And it was just strange, man. It was just so surreal. And he's like, yeah, if you want to interview me anytime, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, I swear I could call him fucking right now, dude. You'd laugh your ass off, I'm sure.
I bet I would.
But yeah, he's...
I'll have to listen to that episode. But yeah, it was really that bad. It was a lot of fun. And yet you've had so many other great shows on there. Oh, man. And I mean, one of the ones you did recently was Bloodbeat, and that's another one. Everyone, I think, has more seen the risque cover than seen the actual movie.
the lists keep growing for the
Riccio
bad films.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
Riccio's
wrestling. Yeah.
Oh, Riccio's great. Love, yeah. Riccio. The story of Ricky is amazing.
I'm just surprised Godfrey wasn't on that.
Tokyo Shock Cinema is amazing. The Tokyo Shock used to, I don't know if they're now a defunct company, but I remember 97, 98, a buddy of mine showed up at the VHS, Ricky Ho, The Story of Ricky. And I was like, wow, this looks promising and weird. And then I remember watching it and Ricky just punching holes through people and the blood exploding on the camera and it literally on the camera lens. And I'm like, oh, this is my jam, you know?
Right.
This is completely my jam.
And he just burst through it like fucking rubber.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things, like I love Tokyo Shock and I love a lot of that Asian cinema. And I love a lot of these movies that are just trying to keep that, I mean, I understand they're doing exploitive stuff. And I mean, you got movies like there's one called The Machine Girl. Mm-hmm. You got the Tokyo Gore Police. You got Vampire Girl versus Frankenstein Girl.
They were doing Machete before Machete was doing it, basically. Just the whole put a machine gun on some or chainsaw on someone's hand.
Yeah.
It's like Evil Dead meets, you know, dark Japanese comedy. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love that stuff. But man, so Godfrey Ho, again, the Ed Wood of Asian cinema. I really appreciate his work, and I haven't even delved deep into it.
I mean, I'll be damned if there's any film historian who can actually sit through and go through all, like, again, 2,000 plus movies he's done. You know?
Don't challenge me. Yeah,
if you want, I mean, I'll take five, you take five, we'll see.
Shit.
You've had Heather Powell from Friday Nightmares on, you know, her cinema finds side hustle. I bet you she'll do two and then say fuck this and give to Scott, and he'll be like, what the hell am I doing with my life? And then just, yeah, it'll be the equivalent of pass the bottle, you know, just pass it around. You yeah, watch five, we'll probably watch five duplicates of the same movie and be like, motherfucker,
yeah, somebody's got to curate and like be like, there's somehow some way people can put pieces of the puzzle together of his
films. I can see it happening, because like you say, these movies were passing around at video stores. They weren't cleared to air on any kind of cable TV, and by mid-80s, you know, they were trying to play less sleazy or hardcore violent sexual movies on there uncut. And but I can see it happen. I can see Svengoolie and Joe Bob doing, you know, Elvira doing a sponsored event at a convention, and they would probably play one of his movies as like the after show at 2 a.m. for those who are still there.
Well, I always remember like, but I mean, I always remember seeing ninja movies when I was a little kid. And I think the lowest grade of ninja movies I would see was the canon films, obviously. You know, I grew up like HBO always played Revenge of the Ninja when I was a little kid.
Did they really?
Always, man. It was always on HBO. And then I think later on at night, you could, I remember not Cinemax, maybe it was Showtime back then, or the Movie Channel.
Showtime makes better sense. They played all sorts of trash where you're like, that can't be real.
Oh, you're talking late 80s, early 90s, probably when I was like 12, 13. Late at night, you would see Enter the Ninja. No, Enter the Ninja was too early. You would see Ninja 3, The Domination, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one. Because you got that, the famous Ninja Trilogy, like the canon Ninja Trilogy was amazing. It started with Enter the Ninja, then Revenge of the Ninja, and then Ninja 3, The Domination, all starring Shokushugi, but not playing the same character, just a ninja master. This is strange. Yeah,
absolutely. And just to where you're just like,
well, and Heather, to Heather Powell's her credit, she can sit through some crap
as long as she's laughing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, Heather's amazing. We used to, she used to be on our It's Not Horror Okay podcast, and mm-hmm. and we used to just introduce her to some crap, and she's like, man, I can't do this, you know, anymore.
But, out.
Yeah, but the fun person that we have on, Sam is actually my first co-host on Android Vision, and she's the best. She moved out of state, unfortunately, but we were continuing to podcast. And the cool thing about that I like about Sam is she kind of grew up a little sheltered. So she's getting introduced to a lot of these movies now.
Yeah.
Check out our Greasy Strangler episode.
I will.
We broke her. She's like, this isn't funny. It's repulsive, but I'll be back next week. You know what I mean? Like,
that's, movie. Damn.
Yeah. This movie is awful. It's offensive. It's repulsive. The main actor is predatory. Like all these things, right?
Another Tuesday.
Yeah, and then she's like, we'll see you guys next week. You know, it's like, yeah. It's all. And Godfrey Ho, no, he was making bad movies. And he was just, again, he knew what the fuck he was doing.
And he could have only made it over there, I think.
You know, sure.
He didn't have any rights restrictions or anything. So, yeah.
Well, what are you going to do, right? Like, you're stealing the goddamn right
down by the copyright police, you're just gonna keep releasing shit.
No, yeah, you're not fuck, he's like, fuck you pretty much.
Right. Roger Corman would laugh it off, saying, well, then don't see it, or come over here, have a laugh. And then there's others who just do the whole I mean, he could have easily done a U-ball where he's like, fuck my fans. It's like, whoa, dude, chill. But then, yeah, no, he just says, hey, see it, don't. I really don't care. I don't care.
One time we had U-ball for 10 minutes on a long, was it my mute? Shit, man. 9 years ago, 8 years ago.
Oh,
we had an old call-in podcast show. And, long time ago, it's defunct, but he would we had him call in. We had some pool, and he called in for 10 minutes and we just said, hey, just listen to our show, for, you know, what you think. And then he just called and insulted everybody. And he was just like, you know, he's like, you guys just sit around eating your sandwiches. Why don't you go make your own movies? See how good you can do it. Fuck you. Like, just went off on us. It's hilarious, dude. It's on YouTube. I'll link it to you.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear him insulting it, but I know what you mean.
It's amazing.
You know, so it's like the commentary track where he's acting like his actors can't act their way out of a box, even though he's the director. It is funny how he only got into this because of German tax cuts, and then I think they loosened up on it more and broke down on it. So now he doesn't have as much of the, say, freedom, if you will, to make shit like he used to.
Okay, so wait, he got involved with it for German tax cuts.
Right. That's why he was able to find loopholes and basically make all this affordable shit. And somehow he knew someone at Lionsgate and they just kept distributing his shit until they decided, nah, we don't want to do that anymore. We got quality controls and standards too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. As of 2005, Godfrey Ho actually, again, fuck, that's almost 20 years ago. He teaches filmmaking at Hong Kong Film Academy.
Does he really?
Yeah. I don't know if he's still doing it, but, you know.
I mean, he must have done a semester's enough to make it be on whatever trivia page. That's amazing. And I'm sure most people just took it just because they saw a YouTuber review and they're like, I got to meet this infamous filmmaker.
Yeah, I want to go take, you know, film courses from Godfrey Ho and see how I could freaking circle around, you know, copyright laws.
Yeah, because it would make better sense because, you know, Roger Corman's and Jim Wynorski are going to, you know, pretty much be there for me time and then kind of blow you off saying, I don't want to give you, you know, spill all my magic tricks. And then Fredo and Ray will kind of just depend on the day, but really only also just wants to talk about himself. And Albert Pion, rest in peace, kind of would give just contrarian stories to where you're like, I'm not sure if he's misremembering shit or whatever you that's on the record, but interesting.
I'll tell you what, man, I fucking love Albert Pion. And
I do too.
I'm dude, my favorite, and I will die on this hill, my favorite Van Damme movie's Cyborg.
Yeah, absolutely. I have the uncut version.
Do you? Is there an uncut version? Damn. I have. People
complain because they want to remaster it. I'm like, well, see, this is as good as you're going to get. You're going to have to, if you want the uncut, you know, edits that make the movie make better sense mixed in with as good a remastered cut, it is what it is.
Really? I didn't know that because I knew some history about the film, how obviously it's a canon film, but like that they used the abandoned sets for Spider-Man and Masters of the Universe 2. Mm-hmm. And I know that overseas somewhere, couldn't tell you which country, that if you can find it on VHS, which would be great, and I haven't seen it, but they said that was released as Masters of the Universe 2, Cyborg, right, overseas. And I mean, I'd pay a pretty penny for a copy of that cover, dude. I mean, that's amazing. But
that would be an amazing cover. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy, man. I mean, I love his films. Love his films too.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, thank you for that message, sir. Look, I just got that. Look at that. Yeah. So, Slinger, huh? So it's called Slinger, the director's cut. Van Damme Cyborg.
Yeah, that wasn't up last year, but it is now.
Is this kind of a hodgepodge?
Just basically just like extra deleted scenes and everything. I know there's more comparison and contrast ones. I can give you a link to the version I got. It's pretty cool, but yeah.
Isn't it a great movie?
It's just so much fun. I had memories of seeing parts of it on Spike TV growing up. So I was like, yeah, hey, you know, it is what it is. It's B-picture. It's incomplete, but it's fun.
You didn't get to see this in the theater.
No, I didn't get to see the uncut version where he like impaled a guy in the eye or something and they cut it for the video release.
Yeah. I got to see Cyborg in the theater like when it came out. I think it was like 12 or 13 and it was great. I fell in love with it right away. It's such a good post-apocalyptic film. But you know, you always wonder what like these guys think of each other, you know, these Schlockmeisters, right?
And it seems like Godfrey Ho, unlike many East Asian directors who came to the States, you know, like whether it was John Woo or what have you, he didn't have to deal with like people shutting him down or refusing to make his movie because, you know, they were bigoted. He was able to kind of avoid all that shit. And it's just interesting to me how I interviewed with Kei Sayanata. The world just knows him as just Chaos, as the director of movies like Zero Tolerance with Gary Daniels and Scott Atkins and Ballistic X versus Sever. And I asked him, is like, have you heard of Albert Pion? He's like, I've seen Cyborg. I don't know the name. I'm like, well, you pretty much had the same kind of career. You had your moment in the sun here in the States. Now you're making movies in Thailand and you have a loyal fan base. It's just, you know, you're getting too bothered by what people are saying on Rotten Tomatoes. And he's like, fuck that site.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we know, like, especially what we do in podcasting, like, we know what we're getting into when we watch these movies. We're not, it's to the point where, like, sometimes when we're even watching something really highbrow, it's like, does nothing for us because it's like, oh, these people are taking themselves too seriously or whatever. But,
right.
You know, I mean, I
haven't liked many of these reboots of famous 80s or 90s movies because, like you say, you know, it's like, unless it's something just really dumb, like Samurai Cop 2, is just like, well, but most of the time, like you say, they just go way overboard, or they think with all this extra money spent on expensive close ups and name talent that that's enough. It's like, it's really not.
Well, and yeah, and the thing about it is that's where you get like some of these guys are like, hey, I'm making a real movie. Right. And I'm making a real film. It's like kind of like old horror, right? Like,
yeah,
when it's so good, it's bad, but these guys took it seriously and they were really fucking like,
or it can even be like an Evil Dead motive where you can take it as either a scary movie or a campy movie or even Night of the Demons, whatever you want to go with it. You still can admire the ideas and the effort. And like you say, the time and talented B-listers who became bigger stars later on.
but where they lose me is when they turn around and they want to kind of strike lightning twice, but it's like, you can't because...
Or give it more depth, which makes more plot holes open. You're like, no, keep it vague. Yeah. Keep it to the line.
And because the cat's out of the bag at that point, right? Like, that's the beauty and the art of it is these guys are playing it straight.
It'd be like if David Lynch did another Twin Peaks moment and then he wanted to explain even more. You're like, please don't explain anymore.
Yeah.
And keep it more loosey-goosey.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and you kind of get that with like we just saw the trailer for Mutilator 2. Did you see that?
I didn't yet, but I did see a few people posting it and I was like, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, buddy
thing.
Yeah, Buddy Cooper, the guy who made the original. It's like another Buddy Cooper movie, but you can kind of tell he's being a little tongue in cheeky with it. I feel like the trailer gave me that vibe that, you know, he's kind of making a parody of himself a little bit or the other.
Oh, it has to.
And it's like, just make it a legit scary. As scary as you can, and then we'll see your fuck up after and laugh at it, you know?
Yeah, I have trust in him. I mean, he's done everything from, you know, Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, and, you know.
Oh, that's not the Toymaker, is it? No, wait. I don't think it is. The Toymaker's great, though. Have you seen the Toymaker?
I've seen them all, but actually, no, my bad. This is a new version. Oh, wow. Whoa, okay. Hold up.
What?
Oh, wow.
You haven't seen The Toymaker?
No, I've seen all the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. I'm just looking up one of the guys. Buddy Cooper's attached to a legit Silent Night, Bloody Night free.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that has anything to do. I mean, it's Bloody Night, so it has Lloyd Kaufman and all these other... No, I think that's just a parody schlock. Okay, my bad. I thought that, I thought that had something to do with the legit Silent Night series.
Right. Well, I mean, and again, there's like movies like, again, you get this with, we did a Is It Really That Bad? Our last episode, we did The Howling 2. And
yes, you did.
And it's they don't, I think they went in there legitimately knowing what they were going to do, but I'm not sure, because that is another director right there.
Two director. Yeah. His name is Felipe Mora.
Felipe Mora. Yeah.
It was so hard to get that Blu-ray of it. I finally got it last year.
Did you?
It has Steve Johnson, who's a very acclaimed makeup artist, and he is just guffawing during the entire interview. He's like, I don't know anyone who takes it seriously.
Well, and the funny thing about The Howling 2, we were able to interview Felipe Mora a long time ago, and he was telling us the funniest freaking stories. Like, first of all, they did it it wasn't even Bulgaria, Transylvania, somewhere in Eastern European country, right? In a small village. They all just rented out a hotel for the cast and everybody. And the village was more than happy to play along with their werewolf festivals and all what they're doing. And so what Felipe Mora, he was also telling us a really good, funny story about Christopher Lee and who subsequently apologized to the director of the original Howling.
I remember that. Yeah. He was on Gremlins 2 and he apologized to Joe Dante, and Dante was like, well, dude, you did what you had to do.
Yeah. But the story that Felipe Mora told us is like saying, you know, he was catching shit because the werewolves in the movie looked like they're wearing monkey outfits. And and he's like, well, you know, that's in fact a legit beef because they were monkey outfits. And he says the studio, you know, didn't have enough money. So what they did, somehow, some way, somebody knew somebody basically in a packing room or in a storage container. They had access to some outfits from Planet of the Apes. And so they actually did ship them to them, and they're all matted and full, you know, like as you would expect something to be packaged away for years from another movie. But they did the best they could, and then they put, you know, that's why it was filmed in such darkness, because the color of the werewolf fur on the heads didn't match the bodies. And then he's like, they're like monkeys. And then he said, what did he say? Christopher Lee said, it's hilarious. He said something to the fact, he's like, well, why can't they be werewolf monkeys? What's wrong with that? We can make it a part of the story, you know. And it's like, calm down, Christopher Lee. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody yet.
Don't get too involved.
Yeah, but Felipe Mora went on to direct, I think, one of my favorite Howling sequels, other than, you know, which was The Howling 2. He did The Howling 3, which was pretty good.
I forgot he worked on Howling 3 as well, but yeah.
Yeah, he's done a whole lot of stuff. I mean, he's done some legit stuff. He did Communion with Christopher Walken, which was good. And, you know, he did The Beast Within. Mm-hmm. So he's got a little bit of things, but
Mercenary Howling 2 with Olivia Grunner, Back in Business with Brian Bosworth, and Pterodactyl Woman from Beverly Hills for Trauma. So, yeah.
I love Brian Bosworth. Dude, favorite movie, one of my favorite 80s, sleaze 80s action movies is
Stone Cold. Yeah.
Lance Henriksen plays the best bad guy in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's such an asshole. I hate him. He's got his fucking mullet in it. He's just this Nazi biker. He's such a dick.
So much fun.
Asshole. Lance Henriksen is amazing. If you can fucking get him to be a bad guy in your movie, fuck. He's such a good bad guy. I mean, everybody loves him because he's such an endearing actor, and, you know, I truly enjoyed Lance Henriksen's work, but man, Stone Cold is great. And Brian Bosworth's acting is horrible, but it's still good. You know, it's good enough to pass.
It works for that kind of movie.
Dude, that movie's stacked with freaking actors too.
Oh yeah.
Somewhat.
Forsythe.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Every other biker movie person. Yeah.
Yeah. Biker sleaze. If you haven't seen Stone Cold, do yourself a goddamn favor and fucking watch it. It's great.
Yeah, at this point, it seems to keep getting rediscovered, which is even more awesome.
Yeah, it's up there with like the Roadhouse type of shit. Like, which is such, it's another movie. Roadhouse is like such a good, bad film.
Right. And same kind of deal. You can take it legit. You can take it in a stupid way, is depending on the crowd, but everyone's seen it and can quote it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What does he do if he called my mom a whore? Is she? Yeah, I could quote Roadhouse all day. I'm sorry. Like,
here's the fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah. He's all, but I'm on my lunch. Stay on it. You know, he's fucking the chick in the closet.
I can only imagine what the TBS edit is like. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's Stone great. Cold's great. Yeah. But man, don't go for, you know, Godfrey Ho again. Ugh. He's exhausting. He is, though. His movie, fucking Ninja, Robo Vampire is an exhausting film because it's so bad.
Mm hmm. Well, what would you imagine had he worked with Philip E. Mora? That would have... Mora would be like, no, no, you got to get the movie done on time. And Godfrey Ho would have been like, fuck you.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
sorry to anyone who I might have offended for my interpretation of how they might have spoken. But
oh, who cares, man? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Anyone to be offended. I mean, we're already offended enough by their bad movies, so...
Yes. Whatever. No, you're okay. It's you know, people who get the, you're not going to quit your job like what's his name did, Hank, what's his name, Azaria, because he was doing up Who's voice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to the Indian community for being an actor.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I'll fess up if I legit went too far, but I'm not the French where I don't care and I keep getting in trouble.
Right, right.
Not so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so check out any of Godfrey Ho's films and you'll just find like one of them look like another because they probably are.
It's magic.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It's great. Another thing that I like about Godfrey Ho is he did use not even the shit that he filmed. He just used stock footage.
Yeah.
Lot of stock footage,
just insane.
Yeah, so the movies were basically made as an assembly line, as ninja scenes were just, it was just, he had this assembly line type of process of doing things, and he would essentially, I'm gonna take this, I'm gonna take that, and he's like, I can use this in my next movie, I'll use that in my next movie. But yeah, but most of his films had one thing, but which was really notable: no ending. And when I say that, like, most movies immediately end at the moment the final bad guy dies. Yeah. But like in one of those films, yeah, as it ends, the hero is throwing the sword at the villain, and who then explodes in one of his movies. And then it just freeze frames and says the end just as he starts to explode. Right. And that's kind of like what he did in a lot of these films. Right. Like, that's how it worked.
He just didn't have any other alternative. Yeah.
No. It was this is the man. This is the man, Godfrey Ho.
This is the man.
Yes.
So where can we find you, you know, on the web, other than again your awesome podcast network?
Okay, so here's the deal. You can find me on Twitter, Android Virus. You can find me on Instagram, AndroidVision_. And just you can look me up on Facebook, AVIC, or Aaron Beretta. I have two accounts because I'm always getting suspended. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Soapbox moment. Fucking all I did was share an ad that was geared towards me, and it was like Viking underwear. It looked like a jock strap, and then you tied it at the top or laced it together with leather or something. And I was like, this is interesting. I could use this for Christmas. And I shared it, and it's like suspended for sex. I'm like, what?
Even though
this is an ad on Facebook.
Right. Why should I get in trouble with somebody who already posted that, you know? And it's like the bots that they're using half the time are just cracking down on stuff, and half the time they're flagging stuff. And you're like, you allowed 500 people to share this? What the hell?
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Adds up. Sometimes they'll have the stupidest reason, like, you violated a code. But what did I violate? Just You're suspended for entire life.
Suspended. Yeah. Well, you can always watch all new Android Visions at the end of every month. It's an online event, basically. Essentially, it's our show. We're horror hosts, or I'm a horror host. The only horror host in New Mexico. Been doing it for 7 years. Woo-hoo. So the character you get on Android Vision is not the guy you're listening to right now. It's a bit of a different character. And that character that I play on Android Vision, just a horror host, hosting movies out of a trailer in an abandoned, dilapidated drive-in in the desert. I usually have some desert sirens show up and host the show with me. I have about three or four different desert sirens, just satanic women that I muster up from the dirt. And we pretty much shoot the shit, talk shit, show really shitty PSAs or shitty short films, and then we'll show another shitty long movie, and then we'll talk about the movie. We'll read fan mail, fan viewer suggestions, and it's just all around a really fun time for Android Vision. And we're right now in the beginning of writing season 8. Yeah. So fun times.
Well, and I applaud that, because it's not easy to be a horror host. I thought of doing a few different ones. I won't share those ideas until I'm ready to actually do it. But yeah, to actually just have that charisma and do a few takes of comedic bits, and then invite all these hosts, and then, like you say, put on that that ulterior persona, that ulterior ego, and then roll with it, and then just say, you know, hey, let's do this formula differently. Hey, let's do a spinoff show. Let's do something else that's just wacky and funny.
Right. I'm trying to do on this season, but I can't get, because I interview some people sometimes, and I have some other characters come on and sit with me, and we shoot the shit sometimes. But I'm trying to get them to do that that aged fermented fish from Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Challenge, but I don't know if they're going to go with it. We're going to puke live on air. I mean, let's just go all in and puke live on air. You know what I mean? Fuck it. You know, let's go do for it. Yeah. So, yeah, you can find me there. Android Vision, Android Virus, all that fun shit. There's no stopping the train.
Yep. Or the big white bus.
Or the big white bus, yeah. Or in my case the short yellow bus.
Oh. So. Hell, let's make it a bang bus while we're at it. Anyway.
There you go.
from hell. Mm-hmm. Whatever that one movie was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, sure. That's awesome, my dude. Okay. Well.
Thanks, Cam. I appreciate you, man.
Anytime.
And listen, you're cordially invited, sir, onto any one of our shows
anytime. Tell me the topic, I'll do the homework.
Well, no, I think you'd be great on one of our commentary podcasts.
Oh, sweet.
So what we all watch a movie together, and so is it not horror, and is it really that bad? A lot of us, I mean, those are two separate podcasts, but we just watch the movies together, and we bullshit over the movies, and we insult each other. And
sweet. Sounds like my kind of party.
Yeah, and I'm always having different people on. So, man, you're more than welcome to come on anytime. And, you know, we're always having guests on. So I'll let you know when we do the next one.
Anytime. Okay.
All right, bud.
Godspeed to you.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.